You are listening to Sherpa Shorts, a special presentation of the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
Here we are back with another episode of Sherpa Shorts.
Day 11 of 26 as we roll on through the alphabet, finding a word for each letter and then talking about how it relates to student ministry.
It's been fun so far. Let's keep going.
You're up today. So what is your word for
the letter K?
My word for the letter K is kingdom.
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 What a great word.
Yeah.
I'm about the kingdom. I'm for the kingdom.
We're all for the kingdom. So this is how I mean this in the context of today's episode. When we think about student ministry, if you're the lead person in your student ministry, you are tasked with and have the privilege of creating this thing, this entity that you love dearly, right? The elements of the programming, the leadership, the dynamic, the vitality of that ministry is kind of under your domain, right?
Yeah.
You're in some sense, it's your kingdom.
Great news.
And that's really important. How do we mix our own kingdom that we're trying to create, and it's a small K kingdom,
right?
But how do we mix that with the greater kingdom of God and the stress that comes from where our little K fits into the big K? Does that make any sense?
It totally makes sense. It's a big question.
It is.
It's a big question. I think off the top of my head, I think the first thing we have to do is decide what we want our kingdom to be like.
Okay.
And that's our task, right?
Yeah.
I mean, strip away everything else and kind of isolate it. Our task is to create a kingdom, right? We call it student ministry, but like you said, it's a kingdom. And so it's going to have elements. It's going to have a program. It's going to have things. It's going to have a feel. It's going to have it's going to exist and it's going to be a place that's identifiable. Like, oh, if I'm over there, it's like this.
Yes.
So I think the first thing we have to do is we have to decide what is it that we want to create.
Yeah.
And then we get busy programming and planning events and doing right. whatever we need to do to create that.
We may have some core pieces of our, you know, the value that we put on certain things. And every church, every student ministry is going to look different in that
right.
sense, right? Certain things that are really important to us that maybe aren't as important to the youth group down the road make
right.
us look a little different.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's good.
And I think that's the first place we start when we start then maybe not isolating but backing up. The first place we back up is within our own church.
Yes.
So how? Because the church is trying to create a small key kingdom
right.
as well. And we are a piece
yes.
of that kingdom, right? So as we're creating our kingdom, we have to think, how does this kingdom fit into
yeah.
the greater church kingdom, right?
Absolutely.
And that has to happen fairly early in the process as we're creating, because if we get too far down the road of creating our kingdom with distinct, you know, programs and distinct feels and environments, and it doesn't match
yeah.
the larger churches sort of feel and you know how that all works out.
That's how youth workers get fired,
yeah,
right? Misalignment
absolutely.
With what the church is and what the youth ministry is.
So yeah. so we've got to, as we're creating that kingdom, back up a step and look, how does it fit into the greater church?
Okay.
And then chances are what that's going to do is it's going to make us make slight adjustments, like,
yeah.
oh, instead of using this language, I'll use this language because it's really the same thing, but it feels different because we're using different language. So you make these, nothing that's going to change.
Can I press you on that for just a second?
Yeah.
Because you came into your church with an established church culture,
mm-hmm.
right?
100%.
And you came in year 15 of the church or whatever.
Correct.
And so you had to figure out what that small K kingdom was at Cedarbrook. What did that look like as opposed to how you had the churches you had been in before?
Correct.
How did you figure that out?
Correct. Well, it was difficult because, again, I came in with an idea of what I wanted to create.
Yeah.
I had created it in two other places before. It worked.
But it was a new creation, not a transplant.
Correct. It was new creation. Now I'm coming into a place that already has a kingdom.
Right.
And I have to say, how do I create it? the benefit for me in doing that was, is I was older when I made this move. I was in my mid-30s. I wasn't, you know, I had a little life under my belt. So there was enough wisdom to know, okay, if I'm going to create that kingdom, I've got to do it slowly and over time. So I'm just going to take a year to study.
Okay.
What is it that exists now that I'll keep because it fits into the kingdom I want to create? And what needs to go and what do I need to add to get to where I want to go? Well, that also gave me time then to get to know the church,
mm-hmm.
to get to know the churches, you know, what was important to them, what mattered to them. What if somebody felt something when they were a part of the church, they wanted them to feel this. Okay, how does that relate to what I want my students to feel when they're a part of my ministry? Do they align?
Was there any dissonance along the way?
There was a little, but I think most of the dissonance was very like small stuff.
Okay.
It was language barrier. Yeah, I mean, again, we're going in the same direction. We're just talking about it in different ways.
Yeah.
And so some of it was just changing the words we use, the verbiage we use, and what we're trying to create, so that it was like, oh yeah, because I hear that over here in big church. I hear that in elder meetings and in board meetings, and
right.
So now I'm hearing it in student ministry. Oh, there's alignment. That's a good thing. So there wasn't anything major. That I can remember. I don't remember making any major sweeping changes.
Well, it's just part of why you're still there.
True story. Because if there was, I might be somewhere else.
Yeah. If you'd come in and try to take over the kingdom, you wouldn't be there anymore. Okay.
So I think that's that first step. And then that, if we're adept at making our kingdom, our little youth ministry kingdom, a part of the little bigger kingdom of the church, then it's easier than to just, now we just take another step back.
Yeah.
Okay, where does my kingdom fit into the youth leaders network in the area?
Absolutely,
Other youth groups in the area.
Yeah.
You know, are there things we could be doing together? Are there things, you know, and again, it's one of the reasons is our kingdoms are similar.
Yeah, and we've been intentional about not holding on too tightly to our kingdoms in a lot of ways. Now, we're very dedicated to our own church, to our own youth ministries, our own team, our own students, right? You're all in at yours.
Which you should be.
I'm all in at mine.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you're all in at yours and you feel alignment with the greater church. But I would also challenge all of us to think outside of our own little kingdom, to be open-handed and generous towards other many kingdoms in your area, to have
just
a view
down the road,
other youth ministries, other churches in your area that you just feel beneficent toward. You want them to succeed. You want them to do well because they're a small part of God's kingdom that you are not. They're different than you. They're going to have a different niche, but you want them to succeed.
Absolutely. And I think it's easy to not do that
when
we're so laser focused on our own
kingdom. Absolutely.
And so it does take some intentionality to step back and to look at what else is happening around me. And is there anything that I can do that will help them succeed?
Yeah.
You know, is there any way I can blow fresh wind into what they're doing because I want them to be as successful as I want mine to be?
It's where ego drifts into our life as youth workers, right? Because we want to have the most numbers or the best room or the coolest program. We want kids to say, oh, I don't go to that church anymore because they're lame. I go to my church now instead, right?
Because it's awesome.
And that's just dumb.
You don't want that.
And I know we all struggle with that. I still struggle with that. And we have those dark moments, you know, where we confess that. But ultimately, I don't want to be that guy.
Neither do I.
That's not worthwhile.
We want to be and again, to put a finer point on it, it'd be if a student was just not quite connecting in my kingdom, right? In my youth group. They were just not quite, they didn't love it. It didn't really get them spiritually awake, and they just were there. And then the next thing you know, they're at the youth group down the street. I should be thrilled. I should be, right?
You should be,
especially if they found their niche there. They got there. They loved it. They're connecting with leaders. They have their friends from school there. And they're just thriving. And ultimately, their relationship with the Lord is growing because they're there.
Mm.
In my best version of myself, as we mentioned in a few episodes ago, I do a cartwheel. I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad Steve has ex-student at Mountain View now as opposed to at Cedar Brook. But we don't always do that because if we're, again, if we're trying to build something, we think, I just lost a piece, what I thought was a piece of my puzzle. But
yes,
but it's a bigger puzzle.
And the puzzle isn't just other youth ministries. You know, if we have students who aren't as involved in our ministry as we would like, they're still part of our ministry, but they are the captain of the football team, or they're, you know, captain of the cheerleading squad, or they're involved in something at school, the choir or the musical,
mm-hmm.
and they're leading in other places and their involvement's there, like, we should be cheering for that too, because we want to be salt and light. We want the kids to be serving in other places, not just coming to our youth group stuff.
Right. Brings into play also, what if a student in our group is involved in our group? They're there, they show up, they have great leadership potential, but we can never tap into it because they're leading the FCA huddle at their school.
Oh, God bless them.
Or they're in the campaigners group at Young Life.
Yeah.
Or they're deeply involved in their Youth for Christ, you know, chapter at their school.
Yeah.
I think, I could think of a couple of students right now who could be just killing it in my kingdom.
Yes.
But they're not. Why? Because they're killing it in Young Life. They're killing it in FCA. And I got to find a way to broaden my vision and see the bigger picture, the bigger kingdom, and go, praise God.
I'm pretty much kicking my own butt just during this conversation. It's pretty convicting. I'm thinking back to two leaders that I've had over the last couple of years who have invested in another kingdom. One of them, I'm pretty sure, listens to this podcast, and he was asked by a church down the road that Matthew and I are both familiar with to be one of their small group leaders. And he's one of my small group leaders.
He
grew up in my youth group.
You're getting poached?
Yeah, but it's a different night of the week, and he's an FCA leader, so he has relationships with kids from this school that tend to go to the other youth group, and they asked him to lead those guys on Wednesday nights, and he's done that. Now they're seniors. When I first heard that, I thought, really?
I don't like that so much.
But that's, again, that's dumb.
Like, right.
It's great that he's been able to pour into them. He's still doing that for me. I had a similar situation with one of my leaders who was asked by Young Life to be a leader in their ministry. So he was with us on Sunday nights. He was with Young Life on some other night. Again, at first I was like, oh, really? Did you have to ask him? And I sat down with him and I said, it's great. You need to do what God calls you to do. This is my best version of myself.
Right.
Do what God calls you to do. You know, please just be committed to the students here that you've invested in. That's what I'm asking from you. And then do whatever God
calls. We're
good
to go. Yeah.
So challenging.
Challenging for sure. This is probably a bigger conversation, probably an episode down the line.
It is. Yeah.
Because this matters, and it's not as cut and dry as we're making it sound.
No.
Yeah. It's more difficult.
We're not as good at it as we make ourselves sound.
Absolutely. The best.
Let me tell you about that church on the road poaching all my leaders.
The best version of yourself is a great version. But then there's the other version of ourselves where it's tough. So we'll unpack this more in maybe a later episode where we can kind of get maybe a little bit under some of the layers of how to be a part of a bigger kingdom.
Just to drop the last super spiritual.
Do it.
Bomb on
drop
here.
The mic and walk away, Steve. Yeah. I believe in you.
Ultimately, we have to trust God so much to know that it's not about what our ministry necessarily is going to accomplish in anyone's life, or our church is going to accomplish in anyone's life. We have to trust that God's using all of his kingdom, the big K, here, there, and everywhere, to do his work in people's lives. It's not about our youth group. It's not about our youth ministry, our church. It's not about us.
What? It's not about us?
It's not.
Because this is bogus. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's not about us. And that's sometimes one of the harder realities to bring in. So, all right, Kingdom, Big K. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode.
Sherpa's out.
Peace.